clinical assistant professor at the University of Illinois Chicago. I was a consultant to the National Confidentiality Task Force for student health information in schools, and I've testified twice before the National Center for Vital Health Statistics Privacy and Confidentiality Subcommittee, which is part of the Department of Health and Human Services. And I'm just going to briefly describe how the two laws interact and then talk about some of the unintended consequences of having FERPA exempt from the HIPAA laws and some suggestions on how to go forward from that. How many of you in the room are familiar with FERPA, the privacy law that controls health or all information in school health, in school records, education records, and in health records in schools? And I assume most of you are familiar with HIPAA, which is the law that controls health information kept by most healthcare providers, healthcare clearinghouses, health insurance companies, etc. So these two laws intersect in the public school system in that all information that is kept in the student's health in the student's education record, including their health information, is covered by FERPA, the Family Education Rights Privacy Act. But the information that is collected by the student's healthcare providers, whether or not they're in a school-based health center or in their private provider setting, is covered by HIPAA. There's a couple of places where those two interact, and there's a few records that are kept in schools that are covered by HIPAA, but so few that I'm not going to be talking about those today. There are some private schools that accept absolutely no federal funds that are probably covered by neither law. There's no privacy protection for health records or education records in those schools. So the Family Education Rights and Privacy Act was passed in 1974, and it was specifically to address the privacy needs of students and families. And it set a standard for confidentiality in all education records. It doesn't cover health records specifically, meaning that it doesn't mention health records. And one of the reasons for that is that the the Individual Disabilities Education Act had not affected the number of students in schools with chronic and acute illnesses as they do today. So the law covers health information in schools, personally identifiable health information, but doesn't specifically address that in the regulations. If anyone hasn't read the entire text of FERPA, I have a link here that you can get when you download the slides. It's actually a very short act. Unlike HIPAA, which is 99 pages about 9 font, if you ever have insomnia, I suggest trying to read it at bedtime. FERPA is actually quite short and understandable. And frequently people in schools, I suggest to health providers in schools to keep a copy in their desk to share with people if they're ever challenging them on the law. Unlike HIPAA, FERPA has no treatment, payment, and operations exemption. And in fact, many schools do bill for health care provided in schools, and a letter from from Iowa to the Department of Education asked for clarification. Would they need to get parental consent in order to bill for Medicaid services provided in the schools? And I also provide the link for that response. And the synopsis is that if you are submitting for Medicaid reimbursement in the schools, you must get parental consent. So in another healthcare agency where you can just automatically bill for services in the schools, written consent is required. FERPA and HIPAA are actually quite similar. The HIPAA regulations were modeled after FERPA as an example, so both require an annual notice of information practices, the right to inspect the record, the right to request an amendment, disclosure logs of who outside the system has actually accessed the record. FERPA has an additional requirement. It's not a requirement. Schools are allowed to share the records with another school without getting parental consent. Both have exceptions for directory information, emergencies, research, which research is covered by other provisions, which I won't go into today, judicial order and subpoena, audit by state and federal officials. And within the school, any school officials with a legitimate educational interest can access the record, whether it's the education record or the health record. Within HIPAA exceptions, there's the quality assurance, body identification, the public health exemption, and for treatment, payment, and operations. Ideally, FERPA, you should be releasing just for educational purposes, HIPAA for health purposes. One of the main differences between FERPA and HIPAA is that HIPAA is very prescriptive. It tells you how to protect information, specific things you're supposed to do if information is collected in electronic form, whereas FERPA is very much just a policy that tells you to protect the information and doesn't tell you exactly how to do that. Okay. So, since there is no exemption for treatment, where HIPAA providers, so your average physician and acute care facility, can share information with schools in order to treat children in the school setting, FERPA does not allow the school to share information with that health provider because there is no treatment exemption within FERPA. So in order to share information with the health care provider, the school must get a written release of information from the child's parent or guardian. Also, immunizations, physical exams, and educational assessments are not treatment. So the health providers can't share immunization information in most states or physical exams for school enrollment with the schools without written permission, written authorization. I already went over the payment. There's also letters from the Department of Education on the website telling you specifically about the inability to release immunization records to public health departments. So you can give information about your percent of the student body that's covered, but you can't release any personally identifiable information with the local or state public health department. Also, New Mexico specifically requested guidance on whether or not you can share information about communicable diseases with the local and state health department, which was required under law in most states. And the Department of Education memo specifically says that you cannot release that information without written permission of the parents. And their definition of what an emergency would entail is very specific, much more limited than what I would consider an emergency in a school setting, and I have worked in schools in four states. There were also two letters of identifying guidance in whether or not you could share information with CDC, who is looking at various issues in school, and specifically in these two letters, looking at incidence of autism in California and Pennsylvania. And again, the memorandum said that you had to have written consent by the parents in order for their child's information to be analyzed by the CDC. So the definition of an emergency for immunization records is very strictly construed, has a very narrow interpretation, and the emergency must mean that there is imminent danger. And in the New Mexico law, it talks about bioterrorism and chemical agents, but again, any release is subject to all FERPA requirements unless there's imminent danger. And again, the New Mexico law specifically discusses that you have to make a decision on a case-by-case basis, and there can be no routine reporting without written consent. Okay. In 2004, the memorandum discusses that student records. Sharing student records with the CDC does not comply with FERPA, and that any type of passive consent or local record review was not an acceptable alternative. So it preempted any interagency data sharing agreements that had been made prior to that date. So, you know, here we are in the era of trying to address public health issues within the schools, like child obesity, having schools measure BMI, doing mental health screening, and now with the recent MRSA outbreak of health departments needing to know of children that they should be following and situations that they should be analyzing. And again, all of those releases do require parental written consent. There's one exception to this, and this would be in child abuse prevention efforts, which is a frequent question that comes up when I talk about this. The letter addressing the questions of the University of New Mexico specifically says that because of a federal law that exists about required child abuse reporting, state laws that require reporting to the state of suspected child abuse are legitimate and don't require parental written consent. When I submitted this abstract, I had thought that a lot of changes would have gone on this issue during the last year. I don't know if all of you know, our abstracts go in February, and as the date got closer and closer, I kept thinking, oh my gosh, there's nothing new to share. And then last week, the Cabinet Secretary Spelling came out with a letter outlining specific instances where she clarified when FERPA is not violated in terms of violent activity or violent behavior or suspicion of violent behavior in schools from a school safety standpoint. And the letter goes into great detail telling that it empowers school officials to act quickly when the need arises, that they can disclose without consent if they feel a student is a threat to student health and safety, and any information collected by the local school's law enforcement unit is not covered by HIPAA and can be released without consent. There's one line in the letter that says that release without consent to law enforcement, public health, and trained medical personnel, and then doesn't mention those words again in the rest of the letter. And I have gone on various websites to see if there's, and again this morning at 5 a.m. to see if the Department of Education has clarified that any further, and it's just too soon. This was in response to the Virginia Tech incident and a lot of concern on the part of school officials and local law enforcement that this information was known and had not been reported in a proper and expedient manner. So I'm not sure if they're going to give us more information about what they meant by public health, because the rest of the letter specifically was talking about students with violent tendencies. Oh, they also mentioned that any security video used by schools on buses or in courtyards is not subject to FERPA. So any film of a student engaging in any type of behavior in a school is not covered by the Privacy Act. Also, they went on to say that any behavior observed or that a school official had personal knowledge of is not covered by FERPA, and that all records can be transferred to another school without consent. And it was specifically talking about discipline records for special ed children, so children covered by the Individual with Disabilities Education Act, that those students' records must be transferred in total with the discipline records to a school that they're transferring to. And that would include the health records in the school also. And for those of you that don't work in schools, school health records for children with serious disabilities and chronic illness are just as big as those files would be in a hospital setting. So, you know, we're talking about sometimes 4- and 5-inch medical files on students like this. The Subcommittee on Privacy and Confidentiality of Health and Human Services also wrote a letter in June of 2007 specifying that they had requested that the Department of Ed and Health and Human Services get together and talk about this issue of releasing information for public health purposes, and that it had not yet occurred. There has been no technical guidance issued by the Department of Ed on what specifically public health releases would be legitimate, or if any intention of re-examining that. And they would ask both groups to explore the need for changes in that legislation and regulations to accomplish that goal. The same type of sharing that's required in HIPAA for public health to be allowed under FERPA. The Association of State and Territorial Health Officials also has a position, a resolution asking the Department of Education and Health and Human Services to allow accessing health information for public health purposes. And just yesterday, at around 3 o'clock, the American Public Health Association also passed a resolution promoting school health information sharing for public health purposes. That link is not available yet at the APHA website, and I'm sure that you'll be able to find that after the end of the conference. Another alternative is to totally de-identify records. These are the criteria that are needed in order to de-identify a health record according to HIPAA. So any information that does not identify that individual can be released. So aggregated information can be released to the public health officials, just not personally identifiable information. FERPA's directions on how to de-identify are similar, except for the all-encompassing anything else traceable. Just to reiterate, the only acceptable strategies are to de-identify the information or to obtain parental authorization for any sharing outside the school setting. And then I just listed, if you download the slides, some references that you might want to refer to if you want more information about this. Thank you very much.